Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time now for the Friday Gathering. This week I'm joined in the studio by Neil Richmond, who's Minister of State for International Development and Diaspora and Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown. Math Carthy is Sinn Féin spokesperson on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration and TD for Cavan Monaghan. Alison O'Connor is journalist and commentator, and Dr Emma Howard is an economist at TU Dublin. And you're all welcome. Thank you for coming in today. And Neil Richmond, I start with you on the budget. Do you feel that the budget adequately reflected the promises that were made to the electorate coming up to the election last year?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the programme for government, if you look at our manifesto, this is budget one of five. And we've started the process of delivering what we will deliver over the lifetime of government. You don't do everything in year one. And one of the key commitments we made...
I think people were surprised that you did nothing in year one.
I would absolutely reject that. First of all, we actually promised that we would do the VAT cut for food and beverages and hospitality. We've done that. That discussion is now over. We're not going to have that hanging over every budget for the next 5 years. That's a permanent move. We've started the process quite clearly in abolishing the means test for carers. And we've made it quite clear, page 19 of the programme for government, if we are facing into economic headwinds, we'll prioritise investment, which we have done. We are clearly facing into economic headwinds. I don't think there's a finance minister around the European Union who isn't envious of the budgetary position that Ireland is in, the decisions we're able to take, but it would be absolutely foolish for us to take some of the rash decisions that were proposed.
Okay, so they have 5 years, Matt, to do what they said they would do. Do you accept that?
No. The essential, I suppose, element of this year's budget is that it's not a pre-election budget. So last year we heard lots of rhetoric in advance of the election cycle, lots of promises to have people's backs, to support workers and families in the midst of a cost of living crisis. In the interim, the cost of living crisis has got worse for many families, and government decided in a €9.5 billion package to give them nothing whatsoever. In fact, most workers who are listening to your programme here this morning will be worse off as a result of this budget.
Because the tax bans haven't moved.
So in terms of, they'll be paying a little bit more in tax, they'll be paying more in terms of petrol and diesel for those who have no choice but to use their cars to get to work. And meanwhile, the cost of groceries, insurance, student fees across the range are actually increasing. And government made a calculated decision. They said we can screw workers in year one in the expectation that they'll forget about it in the next electoral contest. Now, I think the overwhelming sentiment I got in the first 24 hours after the budget was just a stunned silence. People couldn't believe it. Nothing in terms of child benefit, nothing in terms of tax bans, nothing in terms of cost of living crisis. But I think that silence is quickly turning to anger among many people who just can't believe that they've been abandoned in the way. It has all the hallmarks of an austerity budget, but they're looking at a €9.5 billion spending package. So government made choices. They did prioritise. They prioritised developers. They prioritised landlords. They prioritised the banks.
Well, listen,
and they screwed ordinary workers and families.
Neil, go on. I can see you want to come back.
Yeah, like I think at some stage we have to realise that language matters. For 30 seconds, Matt have just thrown out every adjective possibly. He's trying to say this is like an austerity budget. Now, bear in mind, Matt, you and I were elected in politics when we did have eras of austerity, when it wasn't about, well, we might have to cut something, we'll cut everything, we'll have to increase every taxes. Instead, what we see in this budget is 600 million extra for the disability sector. We see a very clear promise that the most important thing for anyone in work is actually being able to hold on to their job. We have an economy that's continuing to grow. We have effective full employment. Most of the European countries do not have that. And yes, only on one occasion in the last 8 months have Sinn Féin raised the prospect of global tariffs in the Dáil. One occasion. The big elephant in the room here, Matt, is the global economy is in absolute flux. So you protect those jobs. And to try and say that people are getting screwed when we're putting more money into the services, more money into the economy to keep companies open, to keep jobs open and to give people the opportunity.
I'm just going to let Emma in and then I'll come back to you. Emma, will you, as an economist, referee that for me?
Yeah, so I think, like, overall, it's not an austerity budget. What it is actually an increase, an unsustainable increase again in spending from the public finances. So the package that was outlined in the summer economic statement, Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, the Central Bank, the ESRI, all said it was too big. And as Neil outlined, we absolutely do have a strong economy. So we have domestic growth this year of over 3%, forecast to be over 2% next year. And we've got record levels of employment. We don't need to be pumping in more money into that economy. And it risks overheating. It risks feeding the inflation that we already have. And what we did see was a further erosion of our very narrow tax base. Because, yes, we are in an enviable position. We do have budget surpluses, but only because of those windfall corporation tax receipts. And again, as Neil rightly said, we do have those economic headwinds. We do have the geopolitical risks of tariffs. And one of the biggest short-term risks of that is that a lot of that activity that's taxed here by those foreign multinationals, who we know pay, three of them pay over 40% of our corporation tax receipts that make up nearly a quarter of the government public purse at the mm-hmm. moment. The most likely impact of those tariffs is for those monies to eventually move outside of Ireland. So what we're seeing is that the VAT cuts mean that they further eroded our very narrow tax base. So the VAT cuts this year alone, 736 million. Next year, when we see the full effect of that VAT hospitality cut, that's going to be 1.3 billion less into the government public purse at a time where spending is increases. And, you know, I think like Pascal Donoghue outlined that there were choices to be made in this budget and there were trade-offs. And it's very clear that some of those trade-offs were, for example, a decision to support the hospitality sector rather than thinking about things like lifting more children out of poverty with that second tier of means-tested benefits.
Just to go back a little bit, we're in this weird situation where you're saying the government has overspent but workers feel like they got nothing. In fact, they feel like they're going into reverse.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a bit of a political paradox. I think even the hospitality sector weren't particularly happy with the budget because...
They don't get that till July
and the minimum wage is increasing. So they were saying, you know, their costs, maybe they thought they might be a little bit worse off. At least the Restaurants Federation said that. Mm. But, you know, what we're seeing is that, like, this package is really large. It's, you know, we're looking at a spend increase net of tax for next year forecast to be 11%. The sustainable increase in core spending each year that the government signed up to as in 2021 as the rule they were going to follow was this 5% increase year on year. They've broken that rule every year since. We're not seeing properly budgeting for actually all the overruns. And, you know, if we look at something like the Department of Health, we've got a decade of budget overruns there.
Okay. Alice, I want to hear from you on this because the ESRI has confirmed now that people will see small income losses, workers will, because of Budget 2026. Matt says that people are stunned or were stunned when it was announced. Now they're angry. Neil says they've done everything that they can and they've got 5 years to fulfil the promises that they made before the election. What do you think the reaction and response from workers, from voters is to this budget?
See, I think it's the equivalent, really, the psychological equivalent of, like, for voters and the being pinged like an elastic. You know, last year we had the pre-election bonanza budget, happy days, one-offs, you know, the whole way. And then you had what we had on Tuesday, where, as it was said at a number of occasions, you didn't even need a calculator to an abacus, even. You'd have to say that the government had to do this. Politically, it made the most sense to do it in year one. As Emma has said, it's not even doing enough. You're already, even with what they are doing, there's a danger of overheating the economy and how sustainable are the corporation taxes and all of that. So it's kind of, it's there are so many different elements to it. But for the Irish public, the average worker, it is a big shock that there was absolutely no change. And it is a poor comfort to realise that maybe it's a responsible thing for the government to do. And yet, we have this VAT move, which actually, on reflection, is one of the most, for me personally, and the time that I've been observing budgets, one of the most extraordinary and incredible moves I have ever seen.
But they're not happy with it either in hospitality.
Yeah.
Because as Emma mentioned, it's not coming in until next July.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think they need to quit while they're ahead. I mean, good God, look at what they've got. And I mean, the whole idea that the Department of Finance is saying it's not coming until next July because of the significant risk, it's coming in next July and that's it forever. Mm. Like, I don't see that ever being taken off the books now. And boy, what a chunk of money, again, as Emma alluded to, that is going to be taken off the bottom line every single year now and not be able to go to other things. And I'd love to hear Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, who I think Fine Gael were the main movers behind this. I would love to hear them give us the figures, the numbers that came from an independent body or even from, and not from the industry itself, or even, you know, even the research that they've done showing how many businesses will it save? How many jobs will it save?
Well, Neil, you were a big fan of that.
I just want to clarify. Absolutely, there are people in the hospitality industry that need help, okay? But not like this.
Could I just jump in really quickly there? So one thing to note is that this is a further reduction. So the sector was already on a reduced VAT rate to the 13.5%. That cost $2 billion a year for that reduced rate. And secondly, if you look at, yes, the Restaurant Federation publishes the numbers of restaurants that are closing and lots of restaurants have been closing, but they don't publish figures on restaurants reopening. Mm-hmm. If you look at the overall employment figures published by the CSO this year, there was an increase in employment of 7% in the first quarter this year. There was a reduction of about 1.7% in the second quarter, but that was driven mostly by Dublin.
And so you're saying the evidence wasn't there in your view that they need the supports,
even if, you know, it's certainly not universal. And the focus has been, and I'm sure Neil will talk about all of those small cafes and family-owned places that are going to benefit from this. The bigger places, the really profitable places get it too.
They get most of the bump, don't they?
So again, it's a universal measure that's poorly targeted.
You were a proponent of this from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Are you still a fan of it, particularly after IFAC came out and said you could have hired 11,400 more nurses with this?
No, I absolutely am. And it's been presented here and by IFAC and others that this is a binary choice, that you're taking a lump of money out of the economy and that's that, as if this doesn't produce a return. This does keep people in jobs, regardless of what's saying. And yes, restaurants may be opening, but what is the sustainability of the average of a hospitality place?
But who told you that? Like, was that the lobby groups or where did you get that information?
The Department of Finance, because I remember I was a junior minister in the Department of Finance for the last budget, they would have done their own research as well, and they're able to go through with revenue, with CSO, the data as well. So it's not just information that makes it into the media presented by various lobby groups, but it's also the experience I've had as both as a minister in enterprise and a minister in finance and going around the country touring hospitality sectors of all sizes, small, medium, large hospitality sector places also employ people. Vast majority of them are Irish-owned franchises as well, contributing massively to the local economy. But the crucial thing is, this move is going to maintain activity in the economy, primarily in rural areas. And
I've only heard Fine Gael people say that. You know, I haven't heard any independent body come out and say, this is going to save jobs in this sector. Like, we even had Deloitte last Friday saying they didn't see how this would work.
Well, I think there's various reports produced both by Indicom but also by Jim Power, the very respected economist over the last couple of years. And bear in mind, this isn't just Fine Gael. This was in the Sinn Féin manifesto, although it wasn't in the alternative budget last year. It was in the Social Democrats manifesto. And there's a political understanding that this is necessary. This is necessary.
How do you measure its success? Sorry, Claire. I'm just curious, how do you measure its success or how did you measure the need for it?
The need is quite clearly over the last 5 to 6 years, and I would have been behind implementing this, we have changed the conditions for workers in this state quite clearly, and it's been the right thing to do.
No, but measurably in terms of saying that this move will, what it will do exactly, how many businesses it will save.
How many businesses stay open, how many people stay employed in those businesses, because I think it's really important that I lay out the changes that we've made to the business in the sector in terms of sick pay, in terms of minimum wage changes, in terms of tips legislation, all the right thing to do. Auto enrolment coming on stream January this year. I was behind a lot of it when I was Minister for Employment.
You said that Sinn Féin were pushing for this at some stage. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that true?
Yes, it was in our alternative budget.
So you agree with it then?
The difficulty here is, so there's two things. There are lots of small service-based industries, cafes that need support. They are, for myriad of reasons, under pressure, and there is a need for support. But here's the difficulty in terms of what government did. So yes, you needed that direct support, but above all, these type of businesses need to have customers. They need to have people within their catchment area that have spare money to spend. And the difficulty is that on the other hand, government have screwed those people, that they will have less money to spend as a result of less money in terms of the government package.
This but is the criticism they make of you all the time, that you want to do everything and you can't do everything.
We set out very clearly in our alternative budget how we would be able to support businesses, support the economy, but also support people crucially by actually bringing costs down. So rather than being inflationary, actually target the measures that are leading to inflation. It's 2 years ago now since Neil told us all that he was giving the retailer 6 months to get tough on prices. Prices have soared in the intervening time in terms of groceries. The same is true with insurance costs. The same is true now with student fees. Petrol and diesel, these are things that government are actually putting the boarding
additional Burger King and Supermax and McDonald's and Starbucks and all of these places the 9% VAT rate.
I didn't want to give any of those companies the 9% VAT rate. I just have, there is no mechanism to exclude them from the benefit. And
we would be in the same position as we are now. I would hope. If Sinn Féin were in government.
We wouldn't, absolutely not, because your listeners would be getting a break. They would be getting support in a way that they are not under this government. This is what.
That's
Santa Claus
approach.
No, it's not. It's not, Alison. And I challenge you to read our manifesto, to read our alternative budget, where we actually set out how we would invest in capital expenditure so that we could undo some of the crises that Fine Gael have left over. We don't give banks a tax break. Banks that are earning profits of 5 billion euros, that's the choice that this government made. We don't give developers who are in the middle of building apartment complexes that have already started and who are going to get 250 million euro of your listeners' tax money in a break next year. We don't allow for them, the wealthiest people in society, to actually get a massive tax benefit through pension changes that this government have brought in. And instead, we actually target the people who are working hard, who are struggling really bad, who are struggling now, if not more than they were this time last year when Neil was on talking about how Fine Gael were listening to them and providing them with supports. And then this year, when there is no election, to pull the rug from under them. We don't do that. We support people regardless of whether there's an election on or not.
What Matt doesn't do and what Sinn Féin don't do is he doesn't tell your listeners that they propose 23 additional taxes. They've, despite what Emma's just said, on a range of different sectors. But what you haven't said there, Matt. Matt, I didn't interrupt you when you were waffling on. You were making absolutely unsustained comments there. I didn't interrupt you. I gave you a free rein. You've proposed 4 billion euro in additional spending, 3.3 billion of which is covered in taxes. Taxes that impact workers and businesses at every size. This is the Sinn Féin. I hear this from Piers Hardy in the chamber. Open my mouth, you put on new taxes on, yes, developers. We're right to give developers because we need new apartment building. You've proposed them on banks, but you've also proposed them in individuals. You've proposed people earning certain
individuals?
Numbers. Individual workers around the country. I don't know why you're pulling this down, Matt, because you really don't like the evidence trying to promise everything to everyone.
We propose an additional tax on people, individuals earning over 140,000 euro. Yeah. You instead have given those people extra tax support through pension changes. And
that's
for every other worker,
support.
You've actually
worse
off.
No, we haven't made every extra worker worse off.
Yes,
what we've done is protect the economy. And invented that somehow this is an austerity budget and people are worse off.
What I said, it feels like an austerity budget.
Because
at the end...
doing is using rhetoric, Matt.
No. The core element of what an austerity budget is to most people is whether they are better or worse off.
No,
and under
not.
Your
you're,
budget,
you're
they
making
are
up
worse
new
off.
Definitions here, Claire, and this is the crucial point.
But Neil, the SRI did say that working people would see a cut in what they're bringing home because of the decision not to change the tax bands in this budget.
In this particular budget. But what we have said, over the last 10 years, we have moved the entrance rate for the higher rate of tax from 32,000 euro a year to 44,000 euro. Two of those 10 years, we haven't had that move to allow us to do it in the next year or through the lifespan. So we're quite clear that due to the very clear economic headwinds, and everyone can see what it is, the last thing we needed to do is 4 billion euro in additional spending like Sinn Féin were advocating. Rather, what we're going to do is protect those jobs and protect those very vulnerable companies that are in every sector, not just because of tariffs changes, but due to a global economy that is absolutely shook. We haven't seen that reflected from the opposition, but we have seen it from the government.
Okay. Can I just get your view on that? Because we hear that a lot from government over the last few days since the budget was announced, that our focus is on retaining jobs. Are we in that much danger here?
Well, I mean, our forecasts are for continued job growth and we're pretty much close to employment. So I would say that a better focus is where are we going to get the... So there were, you know, an additional 1,000 teachers announced in the budget, an additional 1,000 guards. We know we couldn't fill the positions of the additional guards that were announced last year. So one way that we can do that is to allow and enable women to fully participate in the workforce by making readily available and accessible and affordable childcare. Mm-hmm. And while the government does have, I know again, Neil's going to say, you know, they can't do everything each year, but there was no progress on reducing the cost of childcare. And they announced that they were going to increase the number of places by 2,300. We know we have 50,000 on a waiting list, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because anyone like me who has tried to get places will know that many places just have shut their waiting lists. So, you know, I think this focus on supporting jobs and supporting very narrow sectors. So hospitality, by the way, is 7% of overall employment in Ireland. So it's a small sector. They're getting huge levels of support at a time where we have full employment. So we don't need to be putting these supports in place to boost employment.
I am going to move on because I do want to touch, Madam, I come to you on this and what we're seeing unfold in the Middle East this morning, because as of 9 o'clock, that ceasefire came into effect. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying he hopes Israel will mark a day of national joy on Monday night, or starting on Monday night, when he expects all living and deceased hostages are expected to be returned from Gaza. Now, if this holds, it truly is a great day, isn't it?
I think genuinely, I'm not a religious person, but I am praying that this actually does hold. I will obviously welcome the release of the hostages. I think it'll be a very, very, very long time before there's a day of joy in Palestine again, in either the West Bank or Gaza. And I really hope that this leads to an international reflection on how the world allowed this genocide to continue. And I hope as well that we don't just forget about the things that need to be done. Israel still needs to be held to account for what it has done over the past 2 years, but also what it has been doing over the past number of decades. There's a real fear that government, for example, are going to roll back in terms of the occupied territories bill, and particularly the inclusion of services that was agreed by all parties in the pre-legislative scrutiny element. And I really think that we all now need to focus on rebuilding the international order, particularly the primacy of the United Nations, which has been badly damaged by its inaction and the inaction generally of the Western world. Particularly.
I suppose the immediate issue is to get that aid in.
Absolutely.
You know, starting at hundreds of trucks, we hope, a day.
Even logistically, it's difficult to see how that can be done in the time frame that it is required. And I think that'll be the first test of this peace process, whether it's real and meaningful, is whether or not baby food, medicine, water, the essentials in life are actually able to make their way to the people who need them in Gaza.
And Neil, your reflections on what we've been hearing this morning?
Yeah, well, I am a religious person. I do pray this holds, but it's going to take a lot more than that. And I suppose 3 points I'll make. Firstly, and Matt's right, the biggest priority is to get humanitarian aid in. I visited our stockpiles in Dubai a number of weeks ago, where we work with the World Food Programme and other parts. They're all ready to go. We're talking about the baby formula. We're talking about the medicines, 750 tents. Now, I'm not talking camping tents. I'm talking industrial-sized tents are going to go in over the border from Ireland into Gaza this weekend. And there's going to be a lot more. On average, about 91 trucks of humanitarian aid has been going into Gaza since Israel lifted the blockade a day. We need a minimum of 400 building up to 800 trucks very rapidly.
You know, right now, I'm just reading here reports coming in that there are thousands of displaced Palestinians streaming back towards their abandoned homes, or what's left of their abandoned homes. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu is saying that Israeli troops are to stay in Gaza, back to that agreed line, to ensure Hamas is disarmed the easy way or the hard way. And you'd be concerned when you hear language like that, Alison, because everybody just hopes that this holds.
Yeah, and it's a sense of hoping against hope, isn't it? And the notion that it is kind of what we might call the madness of Donald Trump that brought it here, obviously it being used in a good way. That even seems an odd sentence to be saying about Donald Trump, but you know,
it does
knows.
Seem from everything
everybody
we have heard
knows.
Here from analysts, the pressure he brought to bear on Benjamin Netanyahu that
exactly.
got us to this point.
Exactly.
In fairness to the man,
in fairness to the man, but you do then worry about how much that will hold, or that he won't get some sort of a figure, you know, about it all. Really, I think we immediately what we want to see is the flow of aid coming in, even media being allowed back in. I suppose it's, we've seen, because of the way we've seen Benjamin Netanyahu behave over these last 2 years, it's impossible to believe that he will do the things that he's that we're being told that he will, and that he will allow these things to happen. But I think reflecting on it domestically, I think that we should be very proud as a people about how our government has operated generally on this entire thing, from the recognition of Palestine to how our members of our government have advocated at EU level and elsewhere.
But do you think that Matt's right that the occupied territories bill now falls to the side now?
What I think about the occupied territories bill is that if it is to go ahead, that Irish people will know exactly what it means. That everybody will know, if you like, the limited terms of the actual effect of it. Mm-hmm. And I just mean this politically, that if you're introducing something, no more than introducing the VAT thing we were talking about earlier, knowing exactly what it means, what are the economics of it,
okay.
What are the output, that it's, yeah, and that's where it is for me, that if that's going to go ahead, and a lot of people do want it to go ahead, let it be something that's fully understood.
All right, that's it. That's our time up. Thank you all very much for coming in this morning. Thank you for listening.